Welcome to the 14th week of World War III's germ warfare. Worldwide fatal casualties are marching towards a number of American deaths in Korea and Vietnam combined. Remember January 2020, when we started the decade with a hopeful bang? Well, we're now in a very different sort of place. War. This is a peculiar war with no central command. We are fighting on 50 battlefields with 50 field commanders, governors, in charge of 50 fractured forces. We are also fighting a quiet war of competition for resources among the 50. No general would fight a war this way, having 50 isolated commands and a nebulous central headquarters. Not since the Civil War have states been so at odds with each other, and we do not have a Lincoln to settle scores. Misery. "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself," said FDR at his first inauguration. Yet today, the news is grave, even to the extent of officially proclaiming a few more weeks of misery and despair. WHO raised its mortality figure from 2 to 3.4% of known cases. It is interesting that the most trusted man in Washington is an obscure 79-year-old Brooklyn native, non-politician, immunologist, Dr. Anthony Fauci. His cautious candor as the top expert on infectious diseases is a lifesaver in an arena of self-serving distrust and misleading claims. How come he hasn't been fired yet? With workplaces shut down, our previously robust economic outlook has dissipated, and it will be the virus, not economic forces, that determine when recovery begins for real and when or if our lives will get back to normal. What the recovery will look like or how long it will take is unknown. There is talk of an 80% economy when this is over, and some optimists see a quick V-shaped recovery as the infections finally peter out. After weeks of denial, we are led to believe that if we act diligently, we can perhaps make the anniversary of D-Day on June 6, 2020, the day America declares victory over the coronavirus. Events. Between 25 and 50% of people with COVID-19 may not actually show symptoms, and yet they are the unknowing asymptomatic spreaders. Now, the CDC says we should all wear masks, mostly to protect us from each other. With everything closed, a wealth of virtual events has emerged. The widest range of colleges, nonprofits, religions, business associations all feel the need to keep moving forward and are doing so with scheduled teleconferences. The word Zoom has reached stellar prominence. More attention is now paid to community emotional well-being. Coping with a sports drought or the vanishing restaurants leads to stress. Stress is natural, so channel your anxiety and adopt a stress-enhancing mindset. Some recommend that people in isolation in their homes stay mentally and physically healthy by sticking to their regular routines, attend to basic needs, exercise, and importantly, stay in regular direct contact with friends and family. Some tough decisions. There is a trade-off between sustained public health and economic survival. What is it worth to restore a booming economy? Is it worth the death of over a quarter million citizens? This revolves around having business and commerce open prematurely, thereby causing further unchecked spread of the coronavirus, or keeping 330 million Americans homebound POWs in their digital prisons and slow the infections. Simply put, is the cure worse than the problem? The view of Texas Governor Patrick is that many seniors would, quote, take a chance on COVID if it could save the economy for their children. I don't know about that. While a back-breaking economic calamity cannot be avoided and the cure is bad, my take is that the disease is far worse a problem if left unchecked. I think a middle ground will be struck based on an optimistic view that sees a quick V-shaped recovery as the infections peter out. Some good news. There is good news, Dorothy. The infections curve for South Korea and China have seemingly topped off and is heading down as hoped. Also in Italy, China has closed all 16 temporary coronavirus hospitals in Wuhan due to a lack of patients. Apple has reopened all 42 stores in China. Worldwide research dollars are freely floating here and abroad, and advances are being made with multiple potential antiviral medications and vaccines. On the COVID testing front, the future looks far brighter than a week ago, with an assortment of new quick tests now coming to market. So what is the end game? Perhaps herd immunity will prevail, which requires some 60% of the population to be infected and thereby personally develop an acquired immunity. Or, hopefully, a simple inoculation added to the standard lineup or an added ingredient to the annual flu shots will provide immunity. After being cooped up with me for a few weeks, my wife has recalibrated the recommended social distancing from 6 feet to 2 miles. This is Steve Plotkin in isolation.